This is the Tourism Brief, Episode 5.
Are you looking for some simple and logical business coaching tips and need advice that will help your tourism, travel, or destination company? Manny Papadoulis from Icon Tourism, one of the tourism industry's leading consultants and business coach, reveals strategies, tactics, and marketing solutions that will give you the results that you're looking for. So grab your notepad and pen as Manny Papadoulis and his guests reveal some great tourism business nuggets. The Tourism Brief understands the business of tourism. Now, here's your host, Manny Papadoulis.
Hi, and welcome today to the Tourism Brief. Before we get started, I'd just like to thank all those who have subscribed to the podcast in the last couple of weeks. It's been a really fantastic result and way above our expectations. And it would be great if you could give us a rating and a positive comment on iTunes and maybe share the podcast link with your tourism associates and professionals or members or staff on your own Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn pages. And as a way of basically saying thanks for this, I'd like to give you a copy of my book, Tourism Marketing Essentials, which is 182 pages of content and information which will put your tourism business or destination company on the road to success by improving your marketing and increasing your profits. I'll tell you more about how you can get this free book valued at $49 later in the podcast. Okay, so on to today's podcast. We're going to discuss how you can use podcasting for your own tourism business or destination company. We'll also hear from Tourism Tim Warren, who's going to talk about TripAdvisor and how you have to work with it whether you like it or not. But today I wanted to open the podcast with a discussion on FMLs, in particular, media FMLs. And the way I came about this topic is I actually had a client ring me up earlier in the week and ask, you know, I've got a journalist coming, how much is it, what's the fair price to charge? And I just went, oh, goodness. So, and this operator had been operating for a few years, so he probably should have known. So we're going to talk about FMLs. So get your pen and paper out and let's get started. Have you ever wondered why some tourism businesses are featured in the media more than others? And it's no accident, and not only in the media, but in travel bloggers. You'll find these organizations are media savvy. They know how to work with the media, they understand effective public relations, and they regularly host media visits. Working with the travel media through effective public relations activities can be one of the most cost-effective ways of promoting your business to a local, national, and international audience. Second only to getting positive reviews on TripAdvisor, but Tim will talk about that later. So why host a media FMLE? Research shows that travel articles are one of the biggest sources of information and inspiration for consumers when determining their next holiday. Travel articles in reputable newspapers, magazines, on radio, television, or with reputable bloggers have a huge ability to motivate consumers. This first-hand recommendation can inspire readers significantly more than a paid advertisement. A positive story represents a trustworthy source of information about a destination, a tour, attraction, or accommodation property. Would-be travelers are more inclined to want to visit your product if they know someone else has been there and enjoyed it. And a good way to get onto media FMLs is to get onto your local visiting journalist programs. Each year, many state and national tourism organizations, not only in Australia but around the world, host thousands of print and broadcast and blogger journalists with the aim of encouraging greater coverage for their destination and the operators who work there. Visiting journalist programs produce millions and millions of dollars worth of publicity annually for a relatively small outlay. Being part of your state or country visiting journalist program is an important marketing strategy. Take the time to make yourself known to the facilitators of the program, and then stay in contact. Pick up the phone, talk to your STO, and find out who arranges media FMLs. Talk to your regional tourism organization. Pick up the phone and talk to them. I'm surprised when I was chairman of Australia's Coral Coast, how often people just never picked up the phone to make contact with the office, Let them know they're out there and let them know that they're interested in media for Mills. Offer to undertake a briefing of key staff at an RTO or STO. Put them on your distribution list for your product updates and keep them regularly informed of your new developments. Participating in a visiting journalist program needs to be budgeted for, just as you would any other marketing activity. It is a marketing cost. It's not business. It's a marketing cost to generate more business. Some operators make the mistake of viewing a media visit as a revenue-generating exercise, particularly if paying customers are turned away in order to facilitate the visit. If handled correctly, a media visit has the potential of creating new business in the long term, which will be far, far more than compensate for the costs associated with hosting a journalist. It is a good investment. It might cost you $100, it might cost you $1,000, but you'll get back $5, $10, $15, $50,000 worth of free publicity. Local tourism officers are always looking for professional operators who understand the value of publicity and who are prepared to support their programs by offering free of charge or massively discounted in-kind contribution. Another aspect to media fields which you've got to be aware of is staff writers or freelancers who are often invited in media visits. Don't make the mistake of assuming that freelancers will be less productive than staff writing counterparts. In fact, quality freelancers can often generate more articles than journalists writing for a particular publication. Having articles published is the way in which freelancers generate an income, so they are often more likely to have a commission, but then on-sell subsequent articles to several other outlets. In some cases, freelancers syndicate their material through hundreds of outlets and gain huge exposure. This single article could easily earn you more exposure than your advertising could over an entire year. If the journalist has been recommended to you by your local tourism office, then it's likely they will be of merit in there will be merit in hosting them. Same with a blogger. Bloggers now have tens of thousands, some even have millions of followers. Their recommendations are highly valued. If you've got a chance to get a prominent top 100 blogger in the world, travel blogger, who wants to come and see your destination, jump on board. When considering a media visit, it is important to take into account your local, national, and international markets, as well as those of your state and national tourism office. Hosting a journalist from a country in which you are already undertaking marketing is obviously an effective way of adding value to your marketing strategy. Alert your tourism office to the markets you are most interested in so that they can match media visits to your profile. Don't, however, completely overlook other markets. It may be the case that your local tourism office is undertaking activities in a country that may prove lucrative for you. Leveraging these marketing activities could prove beneficial and open new opportunities for your business. Similarly, ensure the experience that is offered to a journalist is relevant and in line with objectives of the participant. Your local tourism office, again, will be able to provide full details of the journalist, the media outlet, its circulation, its audience, and its story. Now, there's a few things you need to know when you want to host the media. Is the journalist writing an article for a magazine or newspaper, or are they filming a segment for a television broadcast? Does the journalist have a photographer with them? Will the photographer or camera operator require additional time in the itinerary to undertake this kind of work? How many are in the party? Do they have regular single or double rooms? So we've got to find this out. We've got to find out what is the story. What's the objective of the trip? How will experience you provide fit into the story? Is part of a long piece about the area, or is it a visit focusing solely on your product? Find out if there is any special dietary requirements, or are there any special cultural needs such as halal food. Find out, make sure you're clear about how much time is required to adequately experience your product. This is particularly important if you're part of a long itinerary. It's important to ensure that all staff are aware of the media visit and are prepared for their arrival. A smooth check-in, a personal greeting, a refreshing drink, a welcome pack of information will impress the journalist and get the visit off to a positive start. This will set the right tone for the rest of the experience. What is the payment arrangement? Now, this is an area that often causes problems. If the trip has been organised by your local tourism office and you plan to invoice the office direct at a massively discounted price, because obviously you're getting business out of this, ensure your staff are aware of this arrangement. Nothing spoils a positive experience more than a badly handled departure when payment is demanded. Maximising your benefits. How do you ensure the trip provides positive results? There are many things you can do to maximise the return on your investment. Be prepared. Understand the itinerary. Know where you fit into the overall picture. Know where the group has just come from, what else they experience, and what is happening after they leave you. Be professional, on time, well presented. Know about the group. Make sure you know who the journal is, where they are, whether they are a freelancer, a blogger, or a staff writer, and what they want from the experience. Plan what you're going to tell them about your business. Give some thought to relevant points rather than going through a standard one-size-fits-all presentation. Provide information about your product by way of a welcome or media kit. Understand cultural differences. Be friendly and develop relationships. And then most of all, follow up. Offer to send an image of your product or more information. Obtain their business card. Send a journalist a quick email a month later thanking them for their involvement and ask them if they're going to print your material. Now, there's a lot of do's and don'ts also associated with media for Mills, and I think we will leave them for the next podcast because running out of time, and I want to get across another couple of topics. But the first topic that goes hand in hand with media for Mills is TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor's now become, when we're talking about proof, TripAdvisor is now the biggest proof about whether your destination, your product is up to standard. So let's go to tourism, Tim Warren, and he can tell us about TripAdvisor. Tim, over
here. Hey, tourism, Tim Warren here with a quick tourism marketing tip. We're going to talk about TripAdvisor and why it's probably one of the most important social media tools, whether you like it or not. It is like becoming the great Google of review sites in the world, and you cannot avoid it. A while back, I did a recording about my client Hamanasi, and some of you had wondered, how is it that they became voted by TripAdvisor as one of the top small boutique hotels in the world? What was their secret? How is it that they're getting the majority of their traffic from TripAdvisor? Now, I know some of you out in the travel and hospitality world are afraid of TripAdvisor, and probably for good reason, because the reality is that it is the best feedback in the world that has ever been on customer service. If your customer service sucks, you're going to hear about it, and the worst part about it is that your market's going to hear about it too. So when I'm talking about marketing and I'm talking about social media, we're going to make some assumptions that your customer service rocks. Now, I've been talking about it for a while because, you know, all the marketing in the world is not going to do any good unless your customer service is constantly improving. So I'm going to give you a little secret here on how is it that Hamanasi has earned almost, I guess it's probably 1,000 excellent, rated five, in TripAdvisor. How is it that they so consistently are getting such high rankings, which has earned them such strong accolades? And I can tell you from experience, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of traffic and bookings that come directly from TripAdvisor. Here's the secret. Just a checkout. Remember a while back I talked about measuring your customer service? Well, they give a very short and brief survey right at checkout, and it's really simple, and it actually parallels a lot of the same questions and ratings that you would see at TripAdvisor, 5 being excellent, 1 being less than, you know, not very good. They immediately find out, before the customer even leaves their Belize resort, where do they stand? Now, if someone has ranked them 5 and over across the board, as well as some specifics that they push for, they immediately give them a card that has their TripAdvisor URL on it. So what this does is almost ensures that the majority of the people that are going to TripAdvisor and giving them rankings are extremely happy with the service they provided. So you might ask, well, what happens when they get rated 4 or 3? What do they do? Well, Hamanasi is really smart, and they immediately, they don't wait. They immediately address the customer right there and say, well, gee, you know, what would have made the difference? You rated us 4 here in, let's say, in staff attention, or you rated us a 3 in the room. They might ask them, well, what would have made us a 4? What would have made us a 5? Where did we not meet your expectations? And they work right on the spot to do two things. One, have some discovery about their client and their service and how the customers are perceiving them. And two, is there anything that they can do on the spot to make them happier? And because they're committed to excellent customer service, and because we're in the hospitality industry and sometimes things happen and things go wrong, they will bend over backwards to help ensure that they get a happy client, or let the customer know that they, you know, they're working on resolving perhaps a shortcoming they have. Do they give refunds or you know, if they really screw up, possibly. Do they give discounts or incentives for them to come back? Most likely. But more importantly, they let the customer know whether they rated them 5 excellent or 2 or 3, that, hey, their opinion matters, they care, and they're going to be working on improving things. And the cool thing is, what happens is that quite frequently those people that might have ranked them a 3 or 4, who were might not have been the most excellent reviewers or rankers, end up being advocates because they appreciate the strength and the quality and the commitment of Hamanasi to customer service. So this is how you use, one of the ways to use social media, and specifically TripAdvisor, is you got to know where you stand with your customers beforehand. Otherwise, it is like playing Russian roulette, and you're just waiting for the luck of the draw to see how you do. Provide excellent customer service, find out immediately how you're doing, and then ask for a review. Give people an easy pathway to give a review. And last but not least, TripAdvisor has a cool little widget that allows you to put some code on your website where you can send people to your own website for them to give a review. That way you keep them coming back to your site and not going to TripAdvisor to look at other competitors. Tourism Tim signing off. Remember, provide excellent customer service and ask for happy clients for referrals always. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tourism Tim. That's some brilliant, brilliant information, particularly on TripAdvisor. And for those who are enjoying Tim's tips, we're going to be doing a lot more with Tourism Tim coming up. He's got a lot of useful information. He's got a brilliant brilliant marketing success system, which if you plug in Tourism Tim Warren, you'll be able to see it. But more than that, we'll be giving a link for that in up and coming shows, and we're going to bring a lot more information because there's a lot of people out there that are enjoying Tourism Tim's tips. Now, I want to finish off with the last topic for today before we close the show. And it's to actually talk about, a few people have asked about the podcast. Now, Icon Tourism has been doing webcasts, webinars since 2007, but we've now narrowed it down into just a podcast. We're on iTunes, we have our own website for the podcast, and we do a couple of websites, a couple of podcasts, I mean, each week. Now, this is obviously, we do them for free, we offer provide good information, but obviously we're doing them to lift the profile of Icon Tourism Consulting. So the question has been asked, can I use podcasts for my tourism business? And should your company be considering a podcast as part of your tourism marketing or part of your tourism destination digital marketing plan? So let's talk about that today. A podcast, as you know, because you're probably listening to it, is an audio or can be a video file, usually MP3 or MP4 format, that can be downloaded from a website. Podcasts are viewed or listened using an MP3 player, such as an iPod, an iPad, a computer, an iPhone, or nowadays, even on your TV and in your car. An increasing number of travel companies and destinations are already producing podcasts. Some are designed to give a flavor of a destination, while others are audio walking tours designed to be listened to once in the destination. So let's have a look at a few facts. There are 220 million TVs and interactive devices, including cars. 220 million around the world. There are 2 billion iPads and tablets around the world. There are 3 billion laptops and desktops. There are 7 billion mobile devices, most of which can have podcasts to be listened on. All of these devices can listen to a podcast, and all of these people that listen to the podcast are traveling. So the simple answer to the question of whether I should be including a podcast in my tourism destination marketing or tourism business marketing, the simple answer is yes. Now, before you say I don't have the equipment or the time or the technology, that's not what will hold you back. I'm recording this, but I have recorded my podcast on my iPhone. It is very, if you've got a computer and you can record a player, you can record it on your computer. It's very simple to record it, very simple to upload it. So stay with me on this. Podcasts are already being used in tourism quite extensively. Most STOs in Australia have podcasts on their website. So do a number of innovative RTOs. A number of overseas online and offline travel publications are also using podcasts, complementing their paper-based guides and using a growing suite of digital content, including podcasts, digital mapping, and ebooks. Some are using podcasts as city guides. So podcasts can fulfill a variety of objectives, from providing pre-visit information and inspiration to offering a self-guided walk around a destination. Podcasts can also play a part in developing or reinforcing a destination's brand, and that's what a lot of the STOs use for them. For those overseas, STO is a state tourism organization. There is a little by way of research, unfortunately, into the effectiveness of tourism podcasting, so it's probably wise, if you're going to step into it, to do it as a trial and monitor the initial results carefully. So let me give you some tips. Get your pens ready on developing a podcast. Tip number one, start with your objectives. Decide what you want to develop a podcast. Is it to raise awareness, stimulate visits, provide visit information to those already visiting? Before embarking on developing a podcast, ask yourself whether or not a podcast is the most effective way to achieve these objectives. Two, download existing podcasts. See for yourself what works and what doesn't by downloading existing travel podcasts from other, maybe some of your competitors or like products in other states or even other countries around the world. Download it, have a listen. Most of them are free and see what they're doing. Number three, complement podcasts with information in other formats. A podcast can work well if it provides an audio accompaniment to information in other forms, e.g. a printed or downloadable walk map. Why not develop a podcast around a theme or walk that is already available in print form? It will save on a search and cost. Number four, get a celebrity or expert to narrate and provide a useful PR angle. So get a celebrity to do or come on to your PR. I use my celebrities, Tourism Tim Warren or Rhett Lego, who are both internationally known tourism consultants. A number of tourism destination podcasts are employing an expert or celebrity to talk on their podcast. Five? Use podcasts as an added value element of promotions. For instance, offer a selection of discounts, offer as at restaurants or bars around the destination to anyone who downloads its MP3 podcast or hires the MP3 player version from the local visitor center. Now, if you're a visitor center or attraction museum, you might want to specialize and you want one to help you in specializing and content development. Maybe you want them to have it on an app. Then you need to speak to a company called iTours, who are based in Melbourne. And if you email a guy called Jeff Sharp and talk to him, jeff.sharp@itoursaustralia.com.au, he'll be able to give you information. They're a brilliant content provider in any language. They work basically all the time in tourism. They don't do podcasts, but they do set up apps and other content. If you want podcasts, you can talk to Icon Tourism. But we'll be doing a special show about apps coming up, and we'll probably get Jeff on to talk about apps and how tourism destination companies, attractions, museums should be using them. Number six, create low-cost video podcasts using existing footage. The cost of video podcasts is obviously very great. So in trying to get new footage, it can be expensive. However, you can facilitate, if your travel centre, local tourism organisation, state tourism organisation, or even national, helps film crews shooting leisure off tourism footage, contact them and ask whether you can access and re-edit the existing footage, and also ask your STO or Tourism Australia whether they have film of your destination. Send new podcasts to your existing subscribers and see how it works. And then finally, host the podcast on as many websites as you can. Not on your own. Give them to the Shire. Give them to the Visitor Centre. Give them to the local tourism organisation. Give them to the RTO and see if they can host your podcast. Icon Tourism Consulting, as I said, have been producing webcasts and webinars since 2007, offering advice, coaching and tourism experts. We have now launched, as you can tell by our new podcast called The Tourism Brief, The Business of Tourism. So you need to have a listen to our first few episodes and get some more ideas on how you could probably use podcasts. Okay, let's finish up today's podcast. I did promise to give you a free copy of my book for those who would leave a comment on positive comment or review on iTunes, or send the podcast link out to your tourism professionals, your staff, or other associates. So what I'd like to do, if you leave a comment on iTunes or on the Icon Tourism Consulting Facebook page, then text me your name and email. That's text your name and email. And if you're in Australia, the number is 0418 743 0225. That's 0418 743 0225. Text your name and your email address, and I will send you back the PDF copy of Tourism Marketing Essentials. The free copy is of Tourism Marketing Essentials. It's a virtual handbook for today's tourism operators or destination marketing organisations. It's packed full of tactics, strategies, practical stuff to ensure you're in front of your competition when it comes to your online and offline marketing. Thanks for listening today. Make sure you share the podcast with your staff, colleagues and friends. If you have any questions about today's podcast or would like to leave a suggestion or on a topic that you would like us to cover, please email me direct at manny@icontourism.com.au. That's manny@icontourism.com.au. I think that we've covered everything for today, and we'll be coming back to you when? Next Thursday. Today is Tuesday. So we'll be coming back to you then, and we'll be covering some more exciting topics on tourism marketing, tourism destination, and all those lovely topics. Thanks for listening. We will see you on Thursday.